I sort of, we were talking earlier, I got the impression you weren't really looking forward to this tonight for some strange reason.
I am embarrassed.
You don't have to.
Because I'm not a legend. I was never that good.
You were. You were a legend.
I was a battler.
Well, from a breeding stock point of view, you've helped the club out in a hell of a lot. So don't worry about the footy side.
No.
You're the Danehill of Carlton.
It's not the stock, it's the house. Well, this house in Canning Street where I was born, conceived. Well, when I got married, I lived in the house. And Steve was conceived there. Now, Steve's inherited that house, and my other daughter, when she got married, lived in the house and conceived a son who's built like a tank. Now, if he can play, and he won a medal, he's only nine, but he won a medal at the weekend from the opposition coach, his best player. Imagine what, if he grows up and becomes a Leaf footballer, imagine what that house is going to be rent out for copulation to these clubs, how much a week Steve's going to charge. And this is what he's concerned about now. Don't worry about recruiting. He's worried about his nephew.
Canning, sir, what number is it?
Can't.
I might drive past there tonight and see if there's any action. Now, listen. Your playing career, your involvement with the club, it really has been a remarkable journey for you.
It's been a long one. Yeah, well, there was nothing to do when I started out. Like, TV had just started, so what do you do at home? You didn't have TV.
What was going on in Canning Street.
There was no nightclubs. Because I started playing in the 50s, I'm really an aging type. Like, and I was reading the other day, the club expenses for that year was £25,000, which is $50,000. And first year draft pick gets that.
Plus.
Plus, more than that. That used to run the club. $50,000. That was three teams.
They don't go out pouring concrete anymore like you used to. They didn't actually work. They work hard at what they do, but they don't go out and work harder.
Work hard at what they do. What, cooking classes?
I actually wrote down some questions not to ask. Now, we mentioned the fact that, in fact, half the theatre is filled with Sylvanis and Baileys here tonight. But when did you meet Rita? She has been one of the great milestones of your life.
No, I can't tell the true story about that, but anyway, she chased me. She was a beautiful blonde. Beautiful blonde, but there's a story in the background about that. She was Miss Italy, local Miss Italy in Melbourne. And I had this blonde girl chasing me, and well, I just had to concede, and she married me. And I've paid the price since.
you've seen the suburb and the football club change so much. Carlton was a pretty rough suburb when you were growing up there.
Oh, yes, we were talking about this earlier, weren't we? Kerry Stokes doesn't have, lucky he was that I started playing football, because he as a 17-year-old lived in Carlton and was going in the 50s going around bashing up Italians because they didn't like Italian migrants. And then I started playing football in 58, and so they sort of acknowledged it. Gee, maybe we'll let them fit in because they can play a bit of football. What he didn't realise was Alphonse Cajetano's father just had a business down the road. And if he had kept going, like, the Carlton crew might have fixed him up. So I've saved his life.
He kicked on too, didn't he, Kerry?
Yeah, good.
Can I ask, on the field or off the field, what's been the highlight for Serge Sylvani?
Look, really, when I stood for committee with George Harris in 78, and the next year under Jezelenko, we won the flag and I was on match committee. Sure. That was just really satisfying because you delivered what you'd promised. Like, you stand for something, stand for committee, you get there and you deliver. And that was, that night was sensational. Even though you've played in premierships, it's very emotional when you lose. When you win, it's a relief. But then when you've made a commitment to a club, standing committee, people support you, say, yes, we want you to do something, and you win the flag, and that first flag was sensational in 79, yeah.
You are enormously proud of your entire family, but to see what Stephen has achieved in his career as a footballer, but also post-football, and seeing young Jack also now taking up the cudgels and wearing the famous old dark navy blue, must give you and Rita an enormous amount of pride.
He's putting stress on us because people keep asking us about him. Like he's only a bud, you know. Like he's just turned 18 and people say, oh, when's he going to start playing? When's he doing this? When's he doing that? But we run enough stress with Steve.
Yeah, well, I think he has the making of a fine young man and obviously a fine young footballer. So I'm sure there's a couple of people there. I'll leave you for a few moments. Few people you'd like to thank.
Look, I haven't prepared anything.
I know that.
But anyway, I'm sure there's somebody you'd like to thank. The family's here, and they've been good. The wife's been great. Rita, they're very good to me. Oh, the Danielle's here, Alessia, Steve, Jack, Tom, Ben, Stu, Roman, Gabriel, they're all here listening. But the one... in my career, he probably put me on the track very early in the piece, was Laurie Kerr. I think it might have been my second or third game. We were playing at Princes Park. We'd just been beaten. And I used to have that wire race going up into the Heatley stand, into the training rooms. The crowd was swarming on the ground. And we're going up the race, and Laurie Kerr's grabbed this Carlton player, belted him up against the side of the race and said, you pulled out. Even though I was terrified of being knocked over, after seeing Laurie Kerr do that to one of our players, he had me terrified and I kept going in. So I've got to thank him for that. Over the years, Nick's been great. When you've got a great ruckman like that, he can take a battery. Unfortunately, well, he was lucky that I didn't have my knees. I've had my knees replaced. I'm a real relic now. I shouldn't be called a legend. I should be a relic because I've had knee replacements. I used to have been known as bad legs. If you want to have a look, I've got straight legs now. And I'm about an inch and a half taller than Big Nick now, and I would have been the champion ruckman if I had got this done early in my career. Anyway, I've got to thank the supporters. It's been a great time at Carlton. We just got to turn it around, though. Nick started in 57, I started in 58, and it took us 10 years before we won our first flag in 68. And then that started a nice little time, 69. We missed out, we made the finals, missed out. And in 1970, after listening to Robbo, now I remember why I retired at the end of 1969. Rest still wanted me, left me on the list, and I was the runner for the first 12 games of the season in 1970. And because, you know, Robbo just kept waffling in the training room, and I'd had enough. But I'd just been the runner, I got away from him. And then Rest said, you better start playing again. So I played the last 11 games of the 1970 season and we won the flag. So it's been a great time. Anyway, thank you.
Well, I'd like to say,